You're listening to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. Richard's style is very unique, where he shares the message of the gospel unlike anyone else. It's real, refreshing, focused, and fun. Whether you find yourself in a good place, maybe in a difficult place, or possibly even in a very lonely place, let me encourage you that you've come to the right place. Now, if you're not able to stick around with us for all of today's talk, you can always listen to, download, and even share this entire message with a friend right from our website, richardellistalks.com. So, with today's talk, here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is Promises Made, Promises Kept. It's not where we're going, but thank you for that, right? We have phrases like, don't make promises that you can't keep. So let me just start by saying this. God never makes promises that he cannot keep. He always keeps his promises. So we're going to start in Genesis chapter 12 and kind of move right-ish. And we're going to start with a guy named Abram. You say, well, you're saying it more like what the tank is named after, the Abram tank. Abraham's name was not originally Abraham. His name was Abram. And when God made a covenant with Abram, that H sound from God's name got inserted into his name. And that's where you get the Abraham, as he is called. So Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. Now the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family and your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. So this, you read this too fast, and you go, okay, wait, this was the deal. Leave your country, your family, your father's house, to a land that I, and I'll show you where it is, not telling you where it is, but I'll show you where it is. And I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. So not only am I going to bless you, but you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So that's like three verses, and boom, like what in the world? So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. That turned out to be a challenging thing. So what if it was just this simple? God comes to us and says, here's the deal. This is what I want you to do. And by verse 4, there's no argument. So Abram departed. So Abram, somehow, he's apparently a good pick, because God picked someone that would obey him. And you can't be a Christian unless God picks you. So when he picked you, did he pick someone that would obey him? Or are we just stiff-arming him to the finish line? So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him. Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. So, like, he's already way down the road. Old people don't like moving. Right? I'm here. I'm set. Then Abram took Sarai, his wife. And look at this. Her name is Sarai, not Sarah. Same thing happens when God made a covenant with Abram. It's Abraham. And Sarai goes from Sarah, same guttural sound put in her name. Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their possessions that they had gathered, and the people whom they had acquired in Haran, and they departed to go to the land of Canaan. So they came to the land of Canaan. Abram passed through the land to the place of Shechem, as far as the terebinth tree in Moreh, and the Canaanites were there in the land. So what if God gives you a house and you go knock on the door, there's people living in the house? It's my house. Oh, no, it's not. It's my house. Well, I'm just telling you, I've been told it's going to be my house. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your descendants, I will give this land. This is it. And there he built an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. And he moved from there to the mountains east of Bethel. And he pitched his tent with Bethel on the west, and Ai, and that's where Ai comes from, if you're wondering. It's all in the Bible. That's terrible. Pitched his tent with Bethel on the east and Ai on the east, and there he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. Now, God told him to go where he went. He obeyed. He gets there. He says, I'm going to give you this land. But he's got Jack. He said, but I thought God gave him all this. Sometimes what God gives you, there's taking possession of. There's a process of that. You say, but I thought he said it was mine. Eventually, it's going to be yours, but you may have to wait for a process. Okay? Now go to Genesis chapter 15. Genesis 15, verse 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, "Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield." Look at these words. "I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward." I'm your shield. I'm going to protect you. And I am your exceeding great reward. Heaven is not the reward. He's the reward. But Abram said, "Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless? And the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus." Then Abram said, "Look, you have given me no offspring. Indeed, one born in my house is my heir." And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "This one shall not be your heir, but one who will come from your own body shall be your heir." Then he brought him outside and said, "Look now toward the heaven and count the stars, if you are able to count, to number them." And he said to him, "So shall your descendants be." There's going to be so many people come out of basically your loins, the child you're going to bear, you and Sarah are going to have. It'll be like the stars you see, countless. And he believed in the Lord, and he accounted it to him for righteousness. These are the things you underline in your Bible. Verse 6, and he believed in the Lord. Now, I'm going to read you some things in the New Testament later. But when you're reading your Bible and you come across a promise, it's not that you're just believing in what it says, the promise. You are believing in the promiser. It's not just words stated, this is the promise. The reason those words have meat and meaning and import is who is behind the promise. He is the promiser. And if he promises you something, it's going to happen. So verse 6, and he believed in the Lord, and he, God, accounted it to him for righteousness. So if you're going to be a righteous person, it's not going to happen without faith, without believing in God and putting your trust and faith in him. These are inseparable. Then he said to him, "I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to inherit." And he said, "Lord God, how shall I know that I will inherit it?" So he said to him, now this is kind of the bizarro scene that goes down. He said, "Bring me a 3-year-old heifer, a 3-year-old female goat, and a 3-year-old ram, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon." Then he brought all these to him and cut them in two down the middle and placed each piece opposite the other, but he did not cut the birds in two. And when the vultures came down on the carcasses, Abram drove them away. Now when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell on Abram, and behold, horror and great darkness fell upon him. Then he said to Abram, "Know certainly that your descendants will be strangers in a land that is not theirs, and will serve them, and they will afflict them 400 years." So God's telling him intense stuff. And all of this comes to pass. They end up in Egypt, 400 years. "And also the nation whom they serve, I will judge Egypt. Afterward, they shall come out with great possessions." Now, this is all in the Bible, right? And so anybody who sees this goes, well, yeah, God told him exactly what would happen. And that happened because that's him. "Now, as for you, you shall go to your fathers in peace and shall be buried in a good old age. But in the fourth generation, they shall return here, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet complete. And it came to pass when the sun went down and it was dark, that behold, there appeared a smoking oven and a burning torch that passed between those pieces," all those carcasses. "On the same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, 'To your descendants, I have given this land,'" past tense. He's already done this. He already told him he would give it to him. "'From the river of Egypt to the great river, the river Euphrates, the Kenites, the Kenizzites, the Kadmonites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Rephaim, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Girgashites, and the Jebusites.'" Names them all, they're out. It's very difficult, even if you have a promise, to be patient by faith till it comes to pass. You say, well, I think God told me this. I believe God told me this. Or I read something in scripture and that's what he said. So what do I do with that? You trust him. And none of this had happened at this point. It's all words, but it's not just words. Again, who is saying the words? It's him. You can trust his words, his word. Go to Genesis 17, verse 5. "No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham, for I've made you a father of many nations." Abram means exalted father. Abraham means father of many nations. So God changed his name to exactly what he would be. Genesis 28:13, and behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give to you and your descendants. So what God promises to Abram becomes Abraham. That promise, even though Abraham dies, gets passed and gets passed. Moses, Joshua, it keeps getting passed. Go to Joshua 21. Joshua 21, verse, let's go down to verse 43. Now, I'm about to read you a few verses that are pretty much extraordinary. So the Lord gave to Israel, I'm going to read this slow. So the Lord gave to Israel all the land of which he had sworn to give to their fathers, and they took possession of it and dwelt in it. Done deal. The Lord gave them rest all around according to all that he had sworn to their fathers, and not a man of all their enemies stood against them. The Lord delivered all their enemies into their hand. Not a word failed of any good thing which the Lord had spoken to the house of Israel. All came to pass. So God says, Abram, here's what I'm going to do. Gets him over there. This is yours. Moses, Joshua. And finally, here it is. It's done. What God promised is done. This is very encouraging to me because it's not, oh, God said something. It still hasn't happened. I got to wait for the future. I'm reading about who God is. When he says something, he does it. And here it is. And this is Joshua, by the way, at the end of his life. Go to Joshua 23:14. Behold, this day I am going the way of all the earth. And you know in all your hearts and in all your souls that not one thing has failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spoke concerning you. All have come to pass for you. Not one word of them has failed. So why does he reiterate this? Why is this so important? Don't ditch on a faithful God. If he says something, he does it. It may take a while. My mama prayed for me every day of her life. And when my mother died, one of the worst things about my mama dying is I lost that prayer support. But here's what happens with my mama's prayers. My mama is dead in heaven, and prayers that she prayed while she was here are getting answered, and she's not here. So if I go home this afternoon and I plant a pecan tree that doesn't come up and bear fruit till after I'm dead and gone, well, it didn't work. Oh, yeah, it worked. I planted it. Somebody else is going to eat the pecans. So some of what we do, even as Christians, part of a body, you say, well, we're not going to see the fruit of this. That's okay. That's what's been going on for millennia. A few quotes. Charles Spurgeon said, God never fails to keep his promises. If he has said it, he will do it. His faithfulness is the foundation of our trust. Hudson Taylor, God's work done in God's way will never lack God's supply. His promises are as sure as his character. Nehemiah chapter 9, go there. Nehemiah 9:8. You found his heart faithful before you and made a covenant with him to give him the land of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Jebusites, and the Girgashites, to give it to his descendants. You have performed your words, for you are righteous. So this is way later. Nehemiah, in the book of Nehemiah, even quoting, this is who he is. He promised, he delivered, this is who he is. Now go to the New Testament, 2 Corinthians 1:20. 2 Corinthians 1:20 says this, for all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him, amen, to the glory of God through us. All the promises of God in him, the answer is yes, in him, amen, so be it, to the glory of God through us. Go to John 14:3. Now, I mentioned this a second ago. I'm going to read some verses now. And some of what I'm trying to get deposited in your heart and in your brain is if you read scripture and it says something and it's God's word and you trust that, no matter what you see or what you feel, none of that can negate what he says. So John 14:3, and if I go and prepare a place for you, he's talking about leaving, ascending into heaven after his resurrection, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. So what's the implication of that? He says, I'll come back for you. So if we are alive when Jesus returns, those who are dead in Christ first, Thessalonians talks about dead in Christ first, those will rise, and then we will be caught up together with them in the air, and thus we will always be with the Lord. It's coming. And there's no stopping it. You say, well, what if it doesn't happen? It's not possible. The universe will collapse if this stuff doesn't happen. Yeah. I go to prepare a place for you. I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. I've got a friend over here. His wife died a few days ago. I did the funeral, and there her body is in that box. And he said, well, where is she? You know, people say, well, sorry for your loss. He didn't lose anything. He knows exactly where she is. You say, well, how's this going to shake down? She's with him. Either Jesus is going to return in our lifetime and take us, or one day he's going to die and he'll be with her. That's as sure as there's a God, right? It is impossible for it not to happen. Look at 1 Corinthians 10:13, dealing with temptation. No temptation taken you, but such as is common to man, but God is faithful. Not going to let you be tempted above what you're able. There'll always be a way of escape. So all of us, everybody who says, oh, the temptation was just too much. That's a lie. That's not possible. God has said he will protect you from being tempted above what you are able. There's always a way of escape. So you say, well, I didn't escape. It's not because the temptation was too overwhelming. You chose to stay and sin. That's the answer. Right? So let's say your deal is drug. It could be sex, drugs, alcohol, lying, cheating, stealing, whatever your particular sin is. And have you ever stopped to ask yourself the question, it's not why did this happen? It's why did this not happen? Why do I have this extraordinary protection? What has not happened? You say, but I'm being tempted. I don't know anything about this personally, these categories, but I've talked to people who, if they just start talking about certain alcohol, for instance, man, their lips, their tongue, just like, man, they can taste it. Does anybody understand what I'm talking about? Okay. So what brand comes to mind when I say that? Huh? Is there a brand? Jack Daniels. Okay. So he's got, you know, whatever that is. Right? Well, why doesn't he drink if he's sober and doesn't want to drink? Here's how you approach it. You say, Lord, man, I saw that commercial. Wow, I can taste it. What the heck? And what does the Holy Spirit remind you? It's not too much for you. Amen. It was just a commercial. So what you gonna do? See these signs that are all around here? Exit, 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 exit. You know why they're there? So you have a place to flee through. So the Holy Spirit calmly says, okay, I got you. Here's the promise. I let this commercial come into your life. What you going to do? You going to trust me that it was not too much and take the exit, or are you going to go drinking? You say, well, it can't be that simple. It's that simple. So the implications of just that are, when you sin, it's because you choose to sin. It is not the devil made me do it. Because the devil does not have permission to tempt you beyond what you're able in the first place. So find you a mirror and go, there's my problem. Hebrews 6. So this is Hebrews talking all the way back to where we started and refers to him as Abraham. For when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could not swear by no one greater, he swore by himself. I swear to God, I am God. I swear by God. Myself, saying, surely blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply you. And so, after he had patiently endured, he endured the promise. So, this sums up what happened to Abraham. He patiently endured, obtained the promise. So, we quit on God. We go, well, it's just not true, and I'm going to go back to my old life. What if he has promised you something, and you know that? And you're making your way toward the promise, but you're not willing to patiently endure and do it his way, and so you never get the promise. Hebrews 10, 23, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. Now, why would you hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering? What is that based on? For he who promised is faithful. I got certain people I trust. I got certain people I don't trust. But the people I trust, I mean, I use our dogs as an example sometimes. If there's someone I trust and I say, look, we're going out of town. Would you watch the dogs? Yes. They need to be fed. Blah, blah, blah. Yes. And when they say yes, when you trust someone, when they say yes to your request, you haven't even left town yet, but you know it's as good as done, right? So when you leave town, you're all day long, oh, I hope the dogs are okay. Why do you know the dogs are okay? Because someone that you trust, you ask someone you trust to do a job, they said yes, that means you don't have to even call and check. You go and you can rest. So you ask God something, he says, I got it. You say, you got it? I got it. Okay, I'll leave it alone. Instead of going back and taking it back. Well, I'm just not sure you can handle this. Well, then who are you going to take it to? Hebrews 13:5. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. Now, people quote the last part of this verse, quoting the Old Testament where it's found. But look at what's before what I'm about to read you. Let your conduct be without covetousness, about wanting things that other people have. Be content with such things as you have. So don't covet. Be content with what you have. For he himself has said in the context of that, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So you say, but I feel like God's left me. My prayers hit the ceiling. I'm all by myself. None of that is possible. As a believer, it's not possible. If he says he'll never leave you or forsake you, you can never be left or forsaken. It's not possible. But I feel that way. Please don't take this wrong. Yes, it does matter how you feel, but your feelings don't affect the facts. And when you don't feel something, that's why it gives you something called faith. That is the slab on which you fall and say, God, I don't feel any of what's going on, that this is going to work out, but I have faith in you as my foundation that you got me. So even if I'm a mess inside, I know you've got me. Okay, a couple more and we're out of here. Philippians 4:19, and I'm only giving you just little sample tastes. Philippians 4:19, and my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. There's your answer. Where are my needs going to come from? It's going to come from him. All your needs according to his riches. So you're not asking a poor God to help you. You're asking a rich God to help you. You say, well, I asked for this and I didn't get this. He probably provided your needs. Titus 1:1-2. Paul, a bondservant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledgement of the faith, which accords with godliness, in hope, and then this phrase, of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began. So it's guaranteed. God promises something. He can't lie. It's going to happen.
Before Richard comes back to wrap things up for us today, I'd like to share a couple important things with you. Let me encourage you to take a minute and check out our website, richardellistalks.com. You'll find today's talk right there in the talks page, along with all of Richard's messages. You can even forward them to a friend so they can hear them too. You'll also find the prayer wall to add your prayer requests, a link to connect with us, the contribute page for you to be able to give to this ministry, a radio station finder, all our social media links, and much more. So check it out, richardellistalks.com. And Richard's back now to wrap up today's talk.
And then the last one, 1 John 2:25, and this is the promise that he has promised us, eternal life. So you say, well, you're all confident and think you're going to die and go to heaven and other people won't and blah, blah, blah. And, you're being cocky about it. You should be more humble. I'll be humble, but I'm going to tell you something. If I drop dead right now, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. I will be with Jesus right now. You say, how do you know that? Because he told me that. So read your Bible. And before you read it, say, okay, God, this is your word. Yes, I give you my word. Now think about that phrase. I give you my word, and if it's in here, I'll back it up. If I tell you something, I'll do it. Trust me. So when you go to it with that in mind and that in your heart and that kind of faith, and when you read it, you say, okay, so this sounds crazy, but he said he'd never leave me or forsake me. I'm going to go with that and not run around going, oh, I think God's abandoned me. It's not possible. So you go to him and you say, okay, God, I'm a sinner. I need your forgiveness. I believe Jesus died on the cross, buried, raised from the dead for me to pay for my sins. I accept the forgiveness of my sins. Eternal life is a gift. Come live in me, through me. I receive you. Save me. What do you think would happen? He would move in and save you, because that's what he said.
Thanks for listening today to Richard Ellis Talks. We're confident that the program blessed you, and we want to hear about it. One way is to give us a call and let us know. The number is 855-6-RICHARD. Another way is to drop us an email. Jump on over to our website, richardellistalks.com, and click on the Connect tab at the top. We'd love to hear from you. And while you're there at the website, there's a ton of great stuff there just for you. Things like all of the talks from Richard, a prayer wall where you can leave your prayer request, and a whole lot more. Check it out, richardellistalks.com. Finally, we love doing this program for you, but we're so grateful when you hop on board to help us with the cost. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD, or you can contribute through the website. It's easy and much appreciated. 855-6-RICHARD or richardellistalks.com. Until next time, God bless you, and thanks for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.